Its current state here on Monday. I'm Mark Bayshore. Nolan Finley is the editorial page editor at the Detroit News. During the course of the 2016 election season, his takes on the rise of Donald Trump and his post-election columns on his victory in the presidential election have provided readers with much food for thought regarding how this happened and what could happen next. Recently, the News endorsed Libertarian Gary Johnson for president, thereby not endorsing the Republican nominee for the first time in the paper's 143-year history. We invite Nolan back to Current State to learn more about his observations during this controversial election. Welcome back, Nolan Finley.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Our listeners have been hearing a lot about the appointments of Reince Priebus as Donald Trump's chief of staff, and Steve Bannon as his senior counselor. But before we get into some of these other topics and other things you've written about, what do you make of these appointments?
Well, I think a president is always going to put closest to him, at least in the beginning, the people who helped him get elected. So I'm not at all surprised. I think what we've got to be prepared for is that every time Donald Trump makes an appointment, there is going to be much gnashing of teeth. And you know, I think I've taken a wait-and-see attitude about this. Reince Priebus certainly gave him good help and good counsel during the campaign, and I think that's what he'll be looking for during his presidency, during his administration.
Last Thursday, your column was headlined, GOP Don't Gorge on Total Power. This election means, of course, that one party, the Republicans, will control the White House and both chambers of Congress. Talk to us about your concerns with that.
Well, that's both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing in that there, you know, there certainly is no reason for gridlock. You can get a whole lot done, and you can change a whole lot of things, which, you know, is sort of what America voted for this past Tuesday. And so you could put your agenda in place. The curse is that you can go too far in pressing an ideological agenda that the broad electorate, the broad citizenry, is not signed on to. And I use the example there of Obamacare. Last time we had total control by one party in Washington, we got Obamacare, an immensely unpopular measure forced through on a strict party line vote. And the result was 2010, when the Tea Party came in and swept most Democrats out of office, both in Washington and at the state level. So I think you have to act judiciously. You have to move carefully with that power, and you have to really try to get bipartisan input and bipartisan support for the things you're doing.
It's interesting. We've seen the same thing in Lansing, though, as well. One party, the Republicans have moved an awful lot of stuff since Rick Snyder came in, and since they've controlled both chambers of the House and the Senate. Back to Obamacare, though, with Obamacare as a cautionary tale, what's your advice to Republicans who want to repeal it and replace it?
Well, I think it has to be overhauled. You can call it the process whatever you want, but people can't continue getting 20-25% premium increases in the mail every fall. A lot of folks are being priced out of the insurance market. And if you think about the purpose of Obamacare, it was to broaden the access to insurance. And I guess it's done that on one end of the scale, but middle America is getting to the point where it can't afford insurance. When you have such high premiums matched with high deductibles and high copays, you have people out there paying $1,000, $1,200 a month for insurance. And for middle America, that is a big hit. That makes it almost impossible to save for college or do anything else. And there's a lot of dissatisfaction about this. I would think this is one area you've got to fix. Paul Ryan's got the outline of a pretty good fix-it plan in his Better Way proposal, and I think that would be a good blueprint to get started. But Obamacare is not something that is working or that you can leave alone. There are elements the Republican Party will keep, but for the most part, you've got to make this thing affordable and rational, and you do that by attacking health care costs.
What do you make of Donald Trump's conciliatory comments here the last couple of days? I believe he made them to the Wall Street Journal about pre-existing conditions. He likes that provision. He likes the idea of young people staying on their parents' policies.
I think you're going to see a less rigid Donald Trump as he moves into the actuality of governing, and it starts to dawn on him that this is an enormous job. Nothing's going to be as easy as he made it sound on the campaign trail. He said he came to those conclusions after talking with President Obama in their first meeting. I think one thing I've heard over and over from Michigan people who have sat down with Donald Trump is that he does listen, that he's a good listener, ask good questions, and takes good advice. And I think that's going to be an essential quality as he moves forward to fix the many, many things that need fixing in this country. We've had a decade or more of stagnation, gridlock, and a lot of things have been put on the shelf. There's things that have to be done, and he's got to do them in the right way.
Our guest is Nolan Finley, editorial page editor at the Detroit News. How surprised were you that Donald Trump took Michigan?
I was surprised. Of course, I've been wrong at every turn in this election, so I shouldn't have been surprised by anything. I thought Michigan was closing as we headed into the election. All the polls indicated that, and certainly the candidates being here was a on the very last day was a pretty good indication that Michigan was in play and very much in play. I think that Hillary Clinton did not do what she needed to do here in terms of getting out the Democratic base. Turnout in Flint and Detroit was light, much lighter than it was for Obama, and I think that's what made the difference. You know, I thought all along, and I have been writing all summer, that Hillary Clinton needed to pivot. Stop spending all of her time bashing Donald Trump. People already knew what they didn't like about Donald Trump. What she failed to do in Michigan and elsewhere is tell people what they liked about her or what they should like about her. She never really talked about herself or her agenda or tried to inspire people. She tried to scare people, and, you know, it almost worked for her, but it didn't.
How do Republican officials who rejected candidate Donald Trump or didn't speak up one way or the other, like Governor Snyder, how do you think they proceed now?
Well, I mean, they're in uncharted waters here. Usually when your party wins the presidency and you're a governor, you've been right there by his or her side, and you have a feeling of hope and optimism that you're going to benefit from that. In Michigan, neither Rick Snyder nor Lieutenant Governor Kelly supported Trump, and Bill Schuette did, but the relationship between Schuette and the governor's office isn't all that great. So I don't know who becomes the liaison to Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump does owe a debt to Michigan because they helped deliver him the election, our voters. And so I really think they're feeling their way on this.
Nationally, I thought it was so interesting to watch Speaker Paul Ryan respond to the ups and the downs of the Trump campaign and his notable reluctance to endorse Donald Trump, at least vigorously. There seemed to be something of a rapprochement here late last week. Do you have any thoughts on how Trump and the Speaker are going to move forward?
Well, I was encouraged to see them standing together and talking about their joint plans. I think America needs Paul Ryan, Congress needs Paul Ryan, and Donald Trump needs Paul Ryan. He's a extraordinarily bright leader. He's got good ideas for the country, and he has demonstrated so far he can keep the sort of far-right element of his caucus in check. And I think he's done a masterful job as Speaker. I think he walked a very delicate path during this election, but he's the guy Donald Trump will need in Congress.
In your column yesterday, I noticed you wrote, "I believe Bernie Sanders could have beaten Trump, or Vice President Joe Biden or any Democrat who offered voters straight talk and empathy. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, there was a big, in my opinion, a big Hillary Clinton backlash in this election. A lot of people who might not have wanted to vote for Donald Trump simply couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. They just knew too much about her and were not looking forward to the Clintons returning to the White House. And in a year when people were looking for somebody who was not part of the establishment or at least could speak to middle America, Democrats offered up Hillary Clinton, the ultimate insider, a person who hasn't driven a car in 40-some years, no connection to the average American at all. She's an elitist, and I think she could not speak to those voters. I think almost anybody else could have.
Back in Friday's paper, you urged President-elect Trump to signal that he's serious about working with women and minorities by nominating a woman or a minority for the Supreme Court. Let me ask you first, though, have you supported the Senate GOP leadership for refusing to consider President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland, this year?
No, we wrote several times that Garland should be approved. He's qualified. He's moderate. I thought he was the best Supreme Court candidate you were going to get out of a Democratic administration. And we worried that Hillary Clinton would go much further left. And so I think it's for Donald Trump now to signal that he's truly going to be the president of all Americans. A woman or a minority would be an excellent way to demonstrate that as his appointment to the Supreme Court.
And explain, we're talking with Nolan Finley, editorial page editor at the Detroit News here on WKAR's Current State. Explain why you think Trump should pick someone like Michigan Supreme Court Justice Robert Young or Joan Larson.
Well, Young may, in truth, may be a little too old to be considered. I mean, presidents want somebody, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s, who's going to be around the court for decades. And that's why I thought Joan Larson's a perfect pick. She meets all of the criteria. She's pro-life. She's conservative. But she's not strident. She's not frightening, I think, to the Democrats. And remember, they're still going to need 9 Democratic votes to get a nominee approved, and I think she would have an excellent chance of getting approval by the Senate. And is an excellent legal scholar, and would make a good justice. And I think it would be a pick that sort of calms people.
How did your readers react to the paper's endorsement of Gary Johnson?
I mean, they were all over the place. We caught hell from Democrats. We caught hell from Republicans. There were very few people who didn't give us a good blistering during that process, but we did what we thought our conscience demanded.
How big a group is your editorial board? How many members on that?
There's 5 of us in that decision-making process.
And did you personally feel strongly about Johnson as endorsing him?
What I felt strongly about is that neither Donald Trump nor Hillary Clinton had the character to be president. I thought, as I described it in a personal column, not in that editorial, you know, the choice was between a lunatic and a liar. And at that point, we had Gary Johnson in, and he seemed the most reasonable of the three. This was before he had walked off the dock a couple of times, but even so, we felt that he had the character to be an honorable president.
What crosses your mind when you think about the rest of the Trump cabinet? I mean, granted, we've learned about 2 important appointments here just in the last couple of days. Where does your thinking take you when you consider who Trump might appoint, you know, Secretary of the Treasury and all those other important positions?
Well, my hope is that he appoints people who will begin dismantling this massive regulatory state that is throttling the economy, and that he will appoint people who will run these various departments of government, not as independent fiefdoms, making their own laws and imposing their own will on the American people, but responsive to the Congress and deferential to the Congress and to the lawmaking body. We have too many laws, in effect, being made by federal agencies, and I think it's one of the reasons people are frustrated and people are feeling that the government doesn't listen to them. Well, when you take away representative government, that's the impact.
Detroit News editorial page editor Nolan Finley has been our guest here on Current State. You can find his pre- and post-election columns at the Detroit News website, detroitnews.com. Always a pleasure, Nolan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.